So happy anniversary, CVC. Guess what? I'm back. And if you're new here, I don't always tell everybody I'm back. Yeah, of course I'm back. I'm standing right in front of you. But if you're new, I've just got back from sabbatical. And it was a two-month sabbatical. Great experience. The people who I talked to about sabbaticaling, if that's a thing, they told me it was going to be really difficult after about a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. You start to go stir crazy. It's hard to not do much. Let me tell you, after sitting around for 2 months, it is wonderful. I love sitting around doing nothing for 2 months. It is the best. It is incredible. I mean, what you can do while sitting is, I mean, you can sit in so many different places. You can sit in a chair. You can sit on the couch. You can sit on the toilet. You can sit on your kids. You can sit on a log. You can sit on a rock. The possibilities are endless. Friends, I would recommend sitting very much to you after doing it for 2 months. In fact, I think my couch where I've commandeered this ottoman and this love seat, and there's this like little butt-shaped indent there. I did so much sitting in that position. Man, it was great. No, but of course I didn't just sit around the whole time. I also took lots of naps, which is great too. I mean, naps. I highly recommend naps for everyone. And I mean, it was a really wonderful time. Got to spend time with friends and family. And I mean, it is great to be back. I love being here. I was really looking forward to this. It was hard not to get back. But what we do here, by the way, as I said, and as you probably know, this is our 7th year anniversary. And every year on our anniversary, what we do is we take time to look at Psalm 23, at least a small piece of it. Because 7 years ago, God spoke to us and spoke to me about creating a kind of community that brings to life Psalm 23 for people who live along Route 23. And so what we've done as our tradition is to look at a piece of Psalm 23, and we've gone through the 23rd Psalm all the way. Guess what? We did the whole thing. Congratulations, everybody. We did it. But guess what? We're going back to the beginning again, because there's still more. This is the kind of psalm. It's a way of life that we can always grow more into, year by year, day by day. And that's our hope today. In fact, we're starting a new beginning. And in many ways, I would say that we're kind of at a new beginning anyway. Do you guys feel that too, a little bit? Like post-pandemic church life or anything life, maybe if you're going to AMC Theater, it's different. Things are distinctly different. We live in a different age and a different era. So we're at a new beginning. But interestingly enough, biblically speaking, 7 is the number of completion. You come to a complete, so 7 is a complete period of time, and that happens. We see that again and again, the pattern in the scriptures. And so we're at a new beginning as a church, and I'm really interested and excited for what God has for these next 7 years. Instead of looking back so much, what I want to do is look ahead in these next few weeks together about what it would mean to do and be church together. In fact, we're going to start a new sermon series next week about reimagining church in this new beginning that God has for us. But before we do so, and before we jump into the one verse in the Psalm 23, let's pray again and just thank God for the things that He's given to us these past 7 years, and also pray into some of the concerns and the things that we see going in our world. Okay, so let's pause and thank God and pray, intercede a little bit for all those things. Let's take a moment now. So Father, we thank You for 7 years together as a church community. Thank You for 7 years of life, 7 years of family, 7 years of celebration, of 7 years of Your presence, God, of seeing Your kingdom come and Your will be done in various ways. Thank You for Your presence with us, even in the midst of the ups and downs and the challenges that we've been through. Thank You for the team and those who have served so faithfully to create a space for us to experience You and know You better. We remember today those who are suffering and going through difficult times, the residents of Bridgeport, my own hometown, who are displaced because of the flooding. We pray that You would provide everything they need. We pray for the nation of Afghanistan, the believers there, the people there, that You might they might encounter You, and that Your church would continue to grow and be strong in the midst of persecution. We pray that Your life and your kingdom would flourish in that country as it is in heaven. And Lord, I ask for any person here who is going through a difficult time, has been through a difficult season, that they would experience the rest and the love of your presence as we continue singing worship songs, as we look at your word together. And we ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so the scripture is pretty simple today. Psalm 23, verse 1. Some of you have you've probably heard it. It goes like this, and it's written by, just in case you weren't familiar, so it's written by the legendary King David. King David was a shepherd by trade before he was a king and before he was a warrior, and he knew from personal experience what it was to be a shepherd. In fact, one of the things, I got a little taste of it. I got to go see the Perry Farm. Ben Perry's here. Look at that. Ben and Lindsay Perry and family. Welcome back, by the way. Love to see you guys. I got to go to their farm, and they have sheep on this farm. And I got to experience a little taste of what that was like. But David knew personally, had that personal experience of what it was like to be a shepherd. But even more importantly, and this is the perspective from which he's writing this, he knew what it was like to be shepherded by God himself. And this is this the Psalm 23 is David's description of what it means to be shepherded by God, to be led by God, to be to have God to guide and to provide for his life all the days of his life, even through difficult and trying circumstances. And what Psalm 23 is, and as I've meditated and sat in the presence of God, is really not so much a description of what you're physically doing on the outside, but it's a description and it's a picture of the inward reality of our lives. Okay, so this is the inward journey that David took, and it's the inward journey that each of us are invited into as people who follow Jesus. So this is what God has for each of us. And so David pens these words not only as a shepherd, but as one who is being shepherded. And he writes this in the opening words of the Psalm 23. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Now, if you know the life of David, I'm not sure exactly when in this life, probably towards the latter part, or maybe not the beginning. He could have written this as a shepherd, but no matter where he wrote it on the spectrum of his life, you might be surprised if you know David's life that he would write such a thing, that I lack nothing. Because you know what? One thing that's true about David's life is he lacked a lot of things, a lot of the time. So he was repeatedly rejected by his family. He was seen as the last and the least among his family members. Maybe some of you have felt that to one degree at some point in your life, that a rejection from a family member or even from friends. Everyone has experienced that. David knew what it was like to be rejected by his own family. David lived on the run. Saul, the king, and his army were essentially chasing him down. So he spent years of his life trying to run away, escape for his life. You know, David himself, if you've read his Psalms, which a majority of them are written by David, he was an emotional wreck. David was an emotional wreck. And he's a very emotional guy, and he didn't hesitate to express his emotions before God. In fact, one of the things I got to do on my sabbatical as I was sitting around is I got to get in touch with my feelings a little bit. Now, I'm going to share something that's a little bit embarrassing. Okay, so bear with me. I'm going to defend myself after I say it. But two of the books that I read while I was sitting there, beside the eight sci-fi books, sci-fi thrillers, were what might be considered romance novels. Okay, now, let me defend myself, okay? I didn't know they were romance novels when I started them, okay? They just got a lot of stars on the Kindle Unlimited, and I thought it was good. It had an innocuous title that seemed very good. But yes, I got sucked in, and so I became this romance novel guy, and I'm more in touch with my feelings now. So if you're wondering what happened, thank you. Thank you for the applause. I appreciate that. So feelings are very good. So if you're sitting down and experiencing feelings, that's a very good, successful day. So I agree with that now. And so now coming out, I feel. So David, back to David, he was a feelings kind of guy. And so he expressed his feelings. And most of us can relate to David at one level or another. In fact, if you look deeper, David's life was actually a life a life of suffering. David later wrote this, a few verses later, he wrote this, and this is the famous words that are often read at funerals but meditated on by millions of people throughout history. He said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And why does he fear no evil? What's the next verse? There's the key. That's the key for today. It's because you are with me. Here's the bottom line for today, and I'll share a little bit more how I came to that. But the bottom line, what David is writing about, is that he's finding satisfaction in the life of God. He's finding satisfaction in the presence of God in the midst of his suffering. And that's the invitation for each of us. This is the invitation for Psalm 23, is that God's presence is sufficient in the midst of suffering. Let me say that again. God's presence is sufficient right in the midst of the suffering. It's not when you get to the end of it. It's right in the midst of it. David somehow discovered the secret to this life without lack. And that's God's invitation to David, and it is his invitation to us. Now, some of my other nonfiction reading, and it was like my accidental reading of these romance novels. I didn't plan it out this way, but the books that were recommended to me, the ones that were next in my reading list, had this common theme running all throughout. And it was the theme of suffering. Now, it wasn't necessarily something I'd choose to read about during my sabbatical if I thought, you know what I want to read about when I'm relaxing? I just want to read about other people's suffering. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit guided my reading and connected this thread all throughout and inspired what he wanted to say today. But let me give you a few examples. I read a lot about the history of black folks within the American, not only American church, but throughout history, from slavery to the Jim Crow era to the greatest migration that ever happened in the history of the United States. And the suffering of black people is just tremendous. And going and reading these personalized stories and looking at the history is just heartbreaking. I also had a chance to read Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And if you've ever heard of Viktor Frankl, he was a man who survived a German Nazi concentration camp. He lived through Auschwitz. And interestingly enough about Viktor Frankl is that he's a psychologist by trade. And so he described the psychosis and the psychology of someone who is suffering so deeply. And interesting, if I believe that there's one message from Viktor Frankl's experience in Auschwitz and through the German Nazi concentration, all of that, it's this. And it's what David is pointing at in the psalm too. It's this. He says this. He says that no matter what freedoms are stripped away from you, everything you have could be stripped away from you, but there's one thing. This is kind of the theme of a lot of his message and his therapy that he does. There's one thing that you still have, even when it seems like all else is lost. And that is the freedom to choose the attitude which you have in response to the sufferings that you experience. After a period of time in the concentration camp, Viktor Frankl came and understood something that many people miss, is that we have the choice to whether we respond to our sufferings in a negative way, in a pessimist, to complain, or we can find the meaning that God has for us in the midst of that. And what David chose to do, and the life that David chose to live, was he chose to look at his sufferings not as from himself being his own shepherd, but he chose to look to Jesus, to God himself as his shepherd in the midst of it. See, we have a choice whenever we face suffering. We have a choice whether to count our suffering as loss, as completely meaningless and empty, or we can choose to allow Jesus to shepherd us and find meaning in the midst of whatever he's experiencing. So throughout my sabbatical, it wasn't necessary. It was great, and I am thankful, but it doesn't necessarily mean it was completely pain-free. I mean, I had my emotional issues I had to deal with. I had to shed a tear, and I had to go through some angst in different family situations. One of the things I dealt with in terms of a physical thing is I had some chronic, semi-chronic, it was a period of like 2 or 3 weeks where I had tremendous back pain. I would wake up with pain, I would walk around, I'd work out with pain in my back, and I was trying to figure out what the problem was. So I talked to a chiropractor, she was a chiropractor, and I talked to a woman who was a physical therapist, and she asked me a few questions, and she diagnosed the problem pretty quickly. Guess what she said the problem was? I was sitting too much. So guess what I did? I started standing in the second half of my sabbatical. I love standing. Standing is great. You can stand on a log. You can stand on a rock. You can stand on the grass. It's just wonderful. No, in fact, one of the highlights of my sabbatical, this is a little bit of a side note, but you can ask my family about this, was standing on a rock while walking through a boulder field with a one-legged man. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, how many people can say on their sabbatical they walked through a boulder field with a one-legged man? Let me tell you, this one-legged man, he was having a blast. He was having more fun than all the two-legged people walking over the boulder field. It was incredible. He was not letting his disability keep him from experiencing the joy of that boulder field. If you're not familiar, there's this process by which boulders can emerge from freezing and refreezing. I forget what that phrase is, but I was out in the boulder field. It was just a beautiful time. But during this time, as I was experiencing my sabbatical, here's what really happened. So I noticed, as I got in touch with my feelings, is that I get my good feelings from doing my work. And a lot of you I know are like this too, so I know it's not just me, but my feelings are energized, and I feel good about myself and my life when I'm working and I'm doing a good job at what I'm working at. I like doing work, and I've often, throughout my entire life, if I wasn't working and accomplishing something, and I've mentioned this before, I would get this anxiety would rise in my life. So just imagine the impact of not accomplishing anything except putting dents in chairs for 2 months. That had the cumulative effect in me to remove my sense of worth and satisfaction in accomplishing things to something else, and I had to depend on something else. And that something else, that person who met me was Jesus himself. It was the presence of God. Now, it wasn't just in the midst of this. It was all the preparation that I had been doing and that we had been doing together as a church to learn what it means to be a Psalm 23 community, to be a community that learns how to create space for God in our worship, a community that learns how to create space for God in the silence of our hearts and in the silence in community, a community that has learned to create space for God by being purposeful about pursuing Jesus and the rest that he has for each of us. You know, one of the things that, 7 years ago, it was September 7th, in fact, 2014, I stood before our church family, our small congregation, and then a group of supporters. And one of the key parts of the vision that I believe God had given us as a community, and it relates to this series that we just finished up on worship, on being a people of worship, is that we are called as a church community to be people of the presence of God, who depend not on ourselves to shepherd ourselves through whatever the trials of life, but who depend on Jesus as the good shepherd. That's what David understood. He understood that in the midst of his circumstances, in the midst of his suffering, that God's presence was sufficient for him. And how do we become people of the presence of God? Well, like Ben Mel told us at the beginning of the series, it's we are worshipers. It is through worship. It is through our worship and who we are as children of God and as God's people that we become people of the presence. I think Bob Palumbo spoke about that a few weeks back, that this is the nature, who we're called to be people who dwell in the presence of God. And if Jesus truly is our shepherd, what does that mean as a sheep? Is that we're in the presence of Jesus. And the key part of that vision is that we're here to create a space and to be a community that helps people experience personally for themselves and in community the very presence of God. And everything we do flows from God's presence. What more do we have to offer people than the presence of God himself? We have nothing to offer except God's presence. So if we want to see the healing ministry of Jesus pour out into the streets and into everyone, where do we need to start? We need to start in the presence of God. See, we can't give what we don't have. We need to be full of the Spirit in order to give away the kingdom things and the things that God has for each of us. It is in God's presence that we find our satisfaction in the midst of our suffering. And so there's a choice. There's a choice that we have as individuals, and there's a choice that we have as a community. Are we going to depend on our own resources and understanding of how to deal with this pandemic or with our own problems? Or are we going to learn to lean into Jesus and depend on what he has for us? You know, coming out of the sabbatical, as I reflected, there has been a significant difference in the way that I've approached work this week as I've approached even before. And it's a different, it's something on the inside. On the outside, you wouldn't notice the difference. But one of the ways I would describe it is that before my sabbatical, and in the sabbatical, I had to take that, at least that time, to slow down before it could actually stop. See, it takes time to slow down. You don't want to slow down suddenly, it comes to a jerk. That is very difficult for anyone. But when I slowed down, what I noticed was that before my sabbatical, I would consider myself a working man who was learning how to find rest. But coming out of the sabbatical, and see if you can notice the difference, coming out of the sabbatical, my experience with work now is that I'm a resting man, intentionally working with God on what he's calling me to do. Can you see the difference there? It's in some ways difficult to describe, but it's an inner reality, and that's the experience that I have been having, you know, these past 7 years that were really solidified during my sabbatical. In fact, the work I could see, I feel it's the inner reality, a peace that I have, knowing that really this is God's work. Everything, his ministry, the life, everything I do is the work of God, and I'm called simply to invited into working with him on the things that he's working on, instead of making this about my accomplishment, what I need to do for God. It's an experience that in God's presence we can learn and we can continue. And so my wife had a nickname for me during my sabbatical. She called me Sabbatical Rich. Sabbatical Rich was a lot more relaxed. It was a lot more available. But you know, I felt what the Lord told me, Sabbatical Rich doesn't need to go away. Is that resting Rich and resting you fill in your name, resting us, can continue as we learn to find our satisfaction in the presence of God and then let our work overflow. Let our work overflow from what God is doing within us, no matter the circumstance, and instead of having to strive and overwork. It's the difference between overwork and overflow. And this is the life and the pattern, the invitation that we have. And what if just for this year we could focus? There's several parts of the vision whose God called us to be in our church, and we'll go into that in this next series a little bit more. But what if we could just focus on this one thing? What if we as individuals and as a community can learn to practice the presence of God? Many times when we're in a situation, we respond with anxiety and fear, that feeling of lack. It's because we haven't practiced the presence of God up to that point. We can, just like learning to ride a bike, we can practice the presence of God in your life. I've developed through the pandemic and then carried into my sabbatical, there are new rhythms of prayer and rest that I've developed, like going on a prayer walk or going out into nature or walking a dog with my wife or one of my kids and praying along the way, or sitting quietly or reading a devotional at key intervals using habit stacking, if you remember what that is. Basically, what the idea is to create, your day is not about getting work done, and this is my paradigm. I think throughout my entire life, my life is really about getting work done, except on the Sabbath, I rest, no work done, but the rest of the day, I'm just work, get my work done, I got to do this, got to do this. Instead, what my days are about now, and it's on my calendar, is about practicing the presence of God and allowing God and to invite me into the work that he's doing. And it's exciting because I see this as God's work and my ability to participate. This wasn't just for me. This wasn't just for King David, but this is the invitation to each of us. And I would encourage you throughout your day, throughout this week, throughout the months and days to come, is to consider what the goal God has for you in that, in the midst of your trials. Maybe it's just regular mundane work, but perhaps it's not getting the work done that really God wants has for you. It's to practice his presence, to understand the sufficiency of his presence to meet you right where you are. And this is the good news of Jesus, isn't it? That Jesus, on the cross, he did the work that we couldn't do by offering, sacrificing his life, rising from the dead, so that we didn't have to work and achieve our salvation. All we need to do is rest in his presence and respond to his initiative, to listen and to obey. And this is the pattern of life. And so we're going to continue as a church community, as we move forward this year, no matter what that might look like, and we're going to continue to try to explore faithfully and humbly listened to what God would have for us specifically and how we meet and what we look like. But two of the things we're going to keep doing is we're going to keep gathering in person. We're going to worship on Sundays and enjoy God's presence. And I would encourage each of us here to make that a priority, the community worship of being together. But then, as Teresa spoke a couple weeks ago, we're starting monthly worship and prayer nights. And so if being in God's presence and community is something new or something you don't do often, come on out, practice. Just come, even if you just come for 10 minutes and leave, that's a good step forward. But start to develop rhythms of resting in God's presence, not only personally, but corporately as a people. And I want to invite you into that journey with us to be the presence of God. You know, over the last 7 years, and we're going to continue worshiping in just a second, some of the favorite stories and the favorite comments that I get when I guess someone comes for the first time are when they say to me, I really experienced God's presence when I came in. I walked in the door and I felt something was different. Have you ever had that experience where you felt something was different? Yeah, that's the presence of God. Jesus said, go out into the world, you know, cast out demons, heal the sick, and then tell them this message. The kingdom of God is among you. What's the kingdom? It's the presence of the Lord. And this is the key part, the beginning of the journey, this new beginning that we're going to take. It's got to start with our practice and our value and our pursuit of the presence of God. And so that's what we're doing here. I want to say we're going to worship in just a second. So worship team, you can start coming up and getting ready as we transition here. But before we do, I want to say a special thank you to Teresa. Could you just give her a round of applause? Thank you, Teresa, for holding up the fort, so to speak. We just had a little phrase among ourselves, but it was the phrase that we had is just don't kill the baby. Okay, so, but we're not more than a baby. We're a seven-year-old, right? So we're a seven-year-old. So we've grown. We've matured a little bit. We still have ways to go, but we're starting to mature, and she did a great. So thank you, Teresa. Well done. And I just want to say thank you to all the team members, the worship team, everyone who serves behind the scenes, not just for when I was going to my sabbatical, not just today for anniversary service, but I want to say thank you to each and every one of you who play a key and crucial part of making our community for what it is. What is it that we're doing and why are we doing it? We're a community. We're creating a space where people from all along Route 23 can come and experience the presence of God. Everything we do is to this end, to allow the presence of God to fill us and send us out so that we can then do the things that Jesus says for us to do. This is why we exist and why we will continue to exist and move on as a church, and why God, I believe, has gave us this initiative to start this church, and I believe we're just really at the beginning of what he has for us in the next 7 years. But it's going to start here, enjoying God's presence, being in his presence, and then letting his presence be known all throughout the world. But let's take a moment. What we do now, as is our tradition, and the reason why we do this, is we take a moment of silence as a community to pause, to be quiet, so that we can rest, we can create space for God to do the work and show us how he wants us to respond. So take a moment and listen, and then we'll continue worshiping and enjoying God's presence together. And after that, we'll share some announcements and enjoy some food. So let me pray, and then we'll pause. Jesus, again, we love your presence. In the quietness of our hearts in this time, short time of silence, would you settle us again? So we're gonna pray, we're gonna worship, but I'd like to invite, if you specifically today, I'm gonna stand off to the side here during worship. Maybe Teresa, you can join me to pray, or others who are trained to pray. If you have been experiencing a sense of like loneliness, being separate from the presence of God, and that it's your inner life. There's some suffering in your inner life today. We'd like to pray for you, and we want to pray that God would restore the joy of His presence to your life. So at any point during worship or after the service, I would love to pray for you. Grab me or Teresa or someone, a friend. I just felt like that was a little word that God wanted to share with us. So let's continue resting. You can sit. You can stand. You can run. Whatever helps you rest and enjoy and focus on God's presence. Let's do that now.